Many communities can't remember the days when it all began, when the first houses were built and who lived there, when the church and the school were opened. But members of the Otford Ridge and Arons Hill communities at Godalming can do just that. Local resident Terry Broomfield was aware that some of the earliest residents of these two estates were still living locally and were holding on to a wealth of memories. Inspired by a local school history project and discussions held at community planning meetings, a group of interested people were brought together to seek funding for a new heritage project. It would aim to collect these memories and share them with the whole community. In March 2006, the Keeping Memories Alive project got underway, and then the interview started. This program features a selection of extracts from those interviews, and in their own words, residents tell of the building and development of the communities of Otford Ridge and Arons Hill, and of memories of living there, of childhood, the war years, and of earning a living. The building of the Otford Ridge and Arons Hill estates happened gradually. It began with 200 houses in 1930-31 on Chestnut Avenue, Chestnut Green and Chestnut Road, shortly afterwards renamed as Otford Ridge. Godalming Council bought the land partly from Ishing Park House and partly from the Godalming Burial Commission. By the late 1930s, Otford Ridge had a church, shops, a post office and a pub. Immediately after the Second World War, work began on the Arons Hill estate. New residents there also came from Poland, Italy, Spain and Germany.
The building of Otford Ridge goes back to the days of the Depression. In the late 20s, the national government decreed that they would start up job creation schemes to get the men off the dole back into work again. One of the schemes that was put in for the Godalming area was a bypass road would be built from Guildford to bypass Godalming and join up again or rejoin the A3 at Milford. The men that would be working on this road came from either the northwest or the northeast of England or South Wales. Now, these men, of course, having moved down here, needed somewhere to stay. Originally, it was regarded as, oh, well, they'll be able to get lodgings in Godalming, and that will do. But the numbers that became involved in the project were such that in the end, new houses were required, and the national government made monies available, and Godalming Council undertook to provide 200 extra dwellings on Otford Ridge.
So you moved back to Otford Ridge. What number or which house
was
it?
Well, we actually occupied 125.
Yeah.
It was three bedroom.
Yeah.
It was two rooms downstairs, a living room and a kitchen and a bathroom with no hot water. The hot water, in fact, was supplied by a copper, which was in a little alcove next door to the kitchen.
Now, of course, them days we had coal fires, so if you went out anywhere, if you went out for a walk with your mother and father on a Sunday, which was usually the day that we went out for a walk, if there was a length of wood that had fallen off a tree or was laying there that you could carry, you put that over your shoulder, you brought it home. Father maybe cut it up, but when we as children came back from school, we had to get the coal in, we had to cut the wood for the morning fire,
because they lit the fire every morning.
Father done that every morning.
Yeah, before he went off to work, sort of thing.
Before he went off to work.
I can tell you precisely how it was furnished because I have in my possession an invoice for the furniture from Bentles of Kingston, and the invoice is dated the 25th of July 1934. And for the grand sum of £44.12, my parents were able to purchase a kitchen table, a three-drawer cupboard, a kitchen dresser, a store cupboard, a 7 foot by 9 foot carpet, a grey underfelt, a 4 foot oak bedroom job, a 4 foot six bedstead job, a 4'6" spiral mattress, a 4'6" hair mattress, a twill pad, a feather bolster, a 2'6" divan, an oak dining room suite, an oak bureau bookcase, 2 kitchen chairs, an oak occasional table.
No electricity, washed in cold water and yeah. whatever day, summer, winter or whatever.
Yeah.
We only had paraffin oil lamps
yeah.
as their ways of lighting or candles.
So right up to when you left school at least, you'd no electricity, no...
Well, I left to go in the army in 1944 yeah. and up until then it was still paraffin. And it was only after when I went in the services and I came home on leave... And I was feeling on the wall. And Mother said, "What are you doing there?" I said, "I'm looking for the light switch." She said, "You won't find one here." She said, "We haven't got any electricity."
Mind you, I'd never seen a house like when we got 35. Oh, it had a loo. Indoors. It had a pump on. And you pumped the hot water upstairs.
Upstairs to the bathroom.
Into the bathroom. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought it was great. When I look back at it now, I think how damn weird it was. But you could get hot water and you had a bath. Oh, it really was living.
We had a larder with a stone floor, and the traditional way of keeping milk, for example, which was delivered daily, but it used to go off very quickly in hot weather, used to be to literally stand it in a bucket of cold water. And things like butter, margarine, the other dairy products were nearly always kept stood on this cold stone floor and covered with a damp cloth. I suppose that it was muslin, but it was a damp cloth that was placed over it to keep it reasonably firm in warm weather. The first time I can remember a fridge was at the end of the 50s, when I'd already been in the forces. My mum was a widow by then, and on my return to the UK from my army service, we decided that between us, we would try and save up enough money to give mum a fridge, because she was out at work and it would help with the shopping so that stuff could be kept in the fridge. It certainly didn't have a freezer, but I would have said that was about 1958-59.
And I can remember buying Mum her first washing machine.
Remember when you brought it home, not using that thing. It's got electricity in it.
Brand new washing machine. She said, "I'm not using a washing machine, there's water and electric, I'm not using it." Plugged it in, put it on, and it arced. There was a copper coil on the bottom as it rotated, hitting the concrete floor, so it was sparking. She was up through the ceiling. Turn it off.
At that time, Otford Ridge and Aaron's Hill were council estates, and you had to go and fit the local council criteria, which got increasingly tougher as housing shortages occurred in the area.
And so, in the early days, what were the criteria?
I believe when Otford Ridge was built, it was a case of applying and having the wherewithal to pay the rent and being prepared to adhere to what, by today's standards, must seem like draconian tenancy agreements. For example, hedges were planted on Otford Ridge, but the condition was that the hedge would be maintained, well trimmed, the gardens would be cultivated, you would be responsible for keeping windows clean. It sounds a bit and is old-fashioned, but I think the majority of people of my age now, and I'm now 70, would believe that these rules were nothing but very, very good for the area that we grew up in.